Hey, you're on.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Call the meeting to order, 6:31, according to Legislator Roberts' phone.
iPhone.
We'll go with that one for tonight. I want to thank everybody for coming. Got kind of a busy agenda, but it's the holidays, so I think we want to...
Breeze right through?
Well, we don't want to breeze right through. We want to do our work, but no arguing tonight, right, Legislator Ron?
I got nothing. Okay. I'm going to be smiling. Everyone's going to be... it's going to be almost like I'm not even here.
Awesome. All right. Let's turn that off for a second. No, I'm kidding. We want to get going before Legislator Donaldson gets here. Maybe we'll get here and we'll be like almost done.
Meeting adjourned.
All right. First motion is to approve the minutes of the November 16th meeting.
I'll move that.
We got those. Any questions? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried 4-0. Okay. We're gonna take one resolution. Out of order. We'll take resolution number 457, adopting proposed local law number 14, 2015, a local law prohibiting the sale of personal care products containing microbeads in Ulster County.
I'll start with that if you don't mind.
So you're going to make a motion?
Yeah, well, I'll speak on it if you allow.
Sure. Well, we need a motion and a second.
I'll move.
Legislator Green will second it. Okay. Senator Roberts.
You know, I voted to send this to a public hearing. I think that the law itself has merits, and we should be looking at it closely. But in the last day or so, I heard from a lot of people in the cosmetic industry, and most of them are sitting, a lot of them are sitting behind us tonight. And my main concern is that this law is, you know, we've heard that Erie County has it, Suffolk County has it, seven or eight other states, but this law is a lot stricter than what we've seen in the booklet here that was presented to us in some very liberal states, Illinois, California, Colorado, Connecticut. So I think we should be looking, trying to follow their lead and not trying to reinvent the wheel, more or less. And, you know, if new evidence comes out that we have to look further into it, we can in the future.
Okay. Legislator Green?
Yeah, my sense is that if we're going to ban microbeads, we should ban microbeads. Whether they're used on your face or whether you brush your teeth with them or they're used for other cleaning purposes or cosmetic purposes, I don't, you know, we just went through this with the PCB cleanup. We have a two-thirds of a PCB cleanup where we could have had a whole cleanup. So what I don't understand is the difference between their language and the language in our bill. I'm not really clear on that. Exfoliate or cleanse, I guess that means that if it's for beautification, where you're not exfoliating or cleaning, that they're okay. But you still wash your face, and you know, for those of us who use cosmetics. So that's, I'm just not completely clear on that.
Can I make a quick comment? One of the things that concerns me also is our law is different than other counties' laws. And, you know, I spoke to Legislator Rodriguez at length today about it, and you know, I told him, I said, that just concerns me. Why are we different than the other counties? And I don't think there's any harm in you know, waiting to take it up in January or February.
So from what I understand, our law kind of copies the one that's presented in New York City, and that one hasn't made it out of committee yet. There's also a, I know more about this stuff than I, you know, ever wish.
He shops for it. He looks at all the labels.
And, and I just can't go back and tell my residents in Platicville they can't use Crest anymore. But
Crest,
where was I going?
Voluntarily removing the product.
I hear that's a good thing. But there's also a House resolution that's going to be, that has been passed, and there's going to be hopefully a Senate resolution, and that also is more in line with the ones from Illinois and California, not New York City. So if we have an attorney here, if the federal government passes a law to restrict microbeads, can our law be more restrictive?
More restrictive.
Yes.
Yes. It can't be less.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'm going to be brief as I can on this. I feel very strongly that things of this nature, laws of this nature, should be done not as a patchwork of, this county has it, this county doesn't, this county has it, this county doesn't, more on the state or federal level. I have a concern about business interests that are going to be impacted by a law in Ulster County that's not the law in Greene County or Orange County or Dutchess County, because all it's going to do is poor folks who want to buy these certain products that can no longer be carried here in Ulster County in another county. In addition to that, we don't have the resources. I joked around with the sponsor the first time he proposed this. Are we going to buy the director of weights and measures is the person who's going to have to enforce this law? Are we buying him a laboratory with which to test these products? Or is it just going to be another law that we pass, because we feel good about it, that's not going to be able to be properly enforced? I mean, I even laws I don't agree with, I prefer that we make them enforceable. And I don't know that this is something on the local level that we can enforce. That's, those are some of my concerns. And then finally, in Ulster County, only something around 19 or 20% of the parcels in the county have municipal sewer. And the rest have septic systems where these microbeads don't pose as much of a problem. So are we focusing on something that's going to be a small problem comparatively to other things? I mean, these are all concerns mm-hmm. that I have with this and why I've been opposed to it the whole time.
Okay. Call the question.
Legislator Rodriguez, I think, is on his way here, if you want to hold up for him. I'm just throwing it out there.
I think everybody feels...
My question is, do we want to amend this to make it more comparable to, say, Illinois and California, Erie County, or do we want to hold off until...
Do we need another public hearing then?
It depends on what the nature of the amendment is.
Or do you want to hold off until January with the new legislature?
What would be the changes to it?
Definition.
I don't have a problem with it necessarily the way it is, but on the other hand, I know that some people feel that makeup and things like that might not be included at this point. And I certainly don't want people that want makeup. I guess I don't want to have many people running around.
From what I understand, Dave, and there's some experts.
Get their makeup on. No, I mean, but I don't know. It's just like. It would be better to keep this stuff out of the system if we can. That's the main thing.
Do you want to get some expert testimony on that?
I'm happy to address
Yeah, thank you.
Just for way of introduction, my name is John Herson. I work for the Personal Care Products Council, which represents these companies. The difference is that microbeads, the plastic solid microbeads, are contained in exfoliating and cleansing products. They're not contained in color cosmetics, regular cosmetics that people use, lipstick, mascara. Those are a different chemical compound. They're not plastic. There's an ingredient on the side.
What are they?
Well, they're called polymers. They're a different chemical, actual chemical string of ethylene, but they're not solid. Some of them are waxes. Some of them are liquids. Some of them are gases. So they're put into like a cosmetic, like a lipstick, to provide.
So they wouldn't be considered a microbead.
They're not a microbead. But the problem with the way the gentleman's proposal is written, it simply says plastic. It doesn't say solid plastic. It doesn't say just using an exfoliating cleansing product. It just says plastic. And since there's no definition of plastic, there's a danger that it could affect all products. That's the problem.
Page 2, section 2, it defines microbeads. Okay. Plastic component of a personal cosmetic product.
Gold. I saw Vern Lundquist trying to stop a puck the other day.
That's what that looked like. There you go.
Had his body every direction.
Yeah.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
I thought I might have said something wrong.
could I ask you a clarifying question? Because if these polymers are not spherical and have a different capacity to adhere the other toxins, then perhaps adding the adjective spherical would allow this product and not allow the harmful product. I'm not clear from just hearing a description of this as a polymer of whether or not it has the same capacity to adhere or other organic compounds and concentrate them in the ways that we're trying to avoid. But if the chemist could answer that question, then that might help to separate that.
Basically, polymers are what's called hydrophobic, which means they don't like water. They don't mix with water. So when they go into a wastewater system, they adhere to solids. All that solid stuff is in a wastewater stream, which would then mean they'd be part of the sludge. So they don't get into the effluent that goes out into the waterways.
They don't get into what?
The effluent that goes out into the waterways, whereas the solid plastic microbeads may float on the top of the surface of the water and actually may get out into the effluent. That's the problem. So that's the difference between those two types of chemicals that are in a product. Mm-hmm. One of the problems is that they're all listed as polyethylene on the side of a product because that's their class of chemicals. They're not differentiated between a solid polyethylene, a gas polyethylene, or a liquid polyethylene. The liquids and the waxes, those are all, they'll melt at a different range. They won't, like plastic doesn't melt, it stays and it won't degrade. But these other polymers degrade and stick to other solids. That's the difference. And you're only going to find those microbeads in cleansing, exfoliating, which includes shampoos, hand washes, all of those things that go down the drain and it says rinse off. That's why we have it defined that way in the 9 states and the 6 other counties in the world. That's why it's defined.
Are you saying that people don't? Well, it's true. People don't rinse off. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Makeup or cosmetics, but the ones they put on their lips, they're actually ingesting themselves.
Well, the usual way is to wipe those off with a wipe, throw those wipes away. But the reality is, if you were looking for plastic microbeads, you're going to capture 100% of those by limiting it to exfoliating and cleansing products. Microbeads yourself are not in lipstick. They're not in mascara. Those are different kinds of chemical compounds. That's the answer.
Okay, let me...
So, again, I would just say that when I read the other states' laws and I saw those exceptions, it seemed like a place that microbeads might end up, and somehow they're exempted now because they're not in those products, but if they ended up in them, then we've got this exemption. It seems to me that our definition is cleaner because it says a microbead, and it has a diameter for a microbead. I don't think a polymer forms a bead, a spherical thing, and if it's a polymer that's not spherical, then it doesn't have a diameter. So I don't think their products are captured by this, and so I think that our definition is better than the other states.
Okay.
You know, I think enough questions were raised at the public hearing the other day that makes you wonder exactly what we're talking about. I do have something here from Niagara County where they have been studying this since the summer. They were going to vote on it and put it off. I, in particular, asked one of the sponsors what the standards were. What products had this contained that would no longer be allowed in Ulster County? I asked what in the testing of the waters, because the Attorney General's report said 29% of the systems, to the systems tested, were okay. But then I heard at one of the meetings here that the other systems would have to spend money to put the necessary filters in, which I guess is part of life. So I, if this is a danger to our health and safety, mm-hmm. then we should be addressed. But I heard enough the other night that I certainly couldn't vote for it.
Let's say Johnson. Let's
say it doesn't say that there would, other than 5 millimeters or less in size, and doesn't give you a round or oval or what have you.
Circumference.
Right. Just 5 millimeters or less in size.
You have a tape measure.
Is that diameter? Is that circumference? Is that
how I read that?
Could be circumference. Could be diameter. Could be
that.
This doesn't size.
All right, what's everybody's flavor?
I mean,
let's not beat this to death.
I mean, I'm not 100% convinced now. If you know, the chairman makes a point that, you know, a certain percentage of the discharges or effluent that comes out has been tested and is okay, that it's an even smaller percentage of a small percentage. So now we're starting to, and some of the comments that were brought up here tonight, you know, is it in this? Could it be in that? We're not going to know. We're not going to know because we don't have any means to test at the county level. I just don't see how we pass something that's so blatantly unenforceable. You know, I mean, we can pass a bunch of laws asking people not to do things, but if you don't have a way to find out whether or not they're actually doing them, it seems kind of counterproductive to me to pass it.
Okay, Leslie Green.
I just with regard to that point, independent testing companies have made extensive lists of which products do or don't have microbeads, and they define the standards. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel. That information is available. I think it's a question of whether or not, you know, we're going to ban them. If it weren't the end of the year, I would suggest it go back to committee and understand the new information and process it and really...
Well, you could still do that.
It can be reintroduced in January.
The environmental committee will still be constituted. I don't see that committee being gone, that's for sure.
I mean, that's my suggestion is that we, that, I mean, if I could, Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. I would think that, you know, given the testimony that was given, this is a point I neglected to bring up a few minutes ago. In addition to all the other concerns that I've brought up tonight, I also have an issue that we had this public hearing last week, and here we are getting ready to vote on it this week. And, you know, there need to be special circumstances in order to have a public hearing and vote on a local law in the same month, because there's really not time to properly digest comments that are made, especially when there's some compelling comments made. I mean, that's, you know, I understand the concern about it being, you know, a new year and a new legislature, but I don't necessarily think that means that we should rush to judgment on something that could have a really large effect on our residents.
No way. How long ago did they start using these microbeads?
They probably started in the early 90s, to tell you the truth. And then
what did they use before that?
They would use, and they're going to go back to these, more natural ingredients like
warmer
sand
cells
and sugar and salt. The problem with those is they can cause allergic reactions. People can be allergic to salt and things like that, but they're not necessarily from nuts, ground up walnuts, so they get allergic to that. So the company started using this plastic because it's inert. People basically aren't allergic to that. But then there was a report done in Europe that said it might be getting out into the waterway. So the companies voluntarily started transitioning out of it. And this has been on the table for about the last couple of years and started in Illinois. It's now been introduced in 36 states, I think. So we're trying to get out of it as fast as possible. The Congress has passed, and the House has already passed a comprehensive bill to do this, require it nationwide. It's sitting in the Senate. We're trying to get unanimous consent in the Senate. You can imagine how difficult that is for the United States Senate. But we're trying to do it so it's consistent across the country. That's the key thing. So,
And if I could just add, it's Senator Gillibrand, our own senator, who's one of the leaders on this issue in the Senate.
Okay.
We have our very own personal care products industry in Ulster County, and that's Kiss My Face, and they have never used microbeads because I know there's some concern about hurting local businesses, but our local business is very much in compliance and in any way impacted by this law. I don't know if it's already been mentioned, but this is a similar law has been passed by, I think we're up to six counties. counties, or maybe five?
It's a different law, this one, than the other counties.
Well, I understand there's variations on the theme in terms of definitions, but I think that the ultimate goal is to eliminate use of products that are going to go down the drain. And I know that there has been some discussion about, well, cosmetic products are different from personal care products that are intended to wash off. But when you put cosmetics on your face, at the end of the day, you wash them off. So I think that that's a distinction without a difference. And I think that if the goal of the legislation is to eliminate this plastic waste from going into our waterways, then we should eliminate all of it. Mm-hmm. And as was pointed out, this is something very, very recent, that the shift to plastic products, and many companies never made that shift. They continued to just produce products that had natural materials in it, and it is not going to be that tough for people, for companies to shift back. And I think really the focus should be what's a reasonable phase-in period.
I'm sorry.
It's 180 days after the law is adopted.
I just noticed the penalties in here. I mean, this was not drafted by the locals. $2,500, $5,000 fines. When we're having conflicting evidence as to what the composition really is and whether it goes into the effluent or it stays with the sludge.
Just on a couple of the questions that came up, the way you measure these things is by diameter. That it's the type of filter that will take them out or not tight. I think it would be unreasonable to suggest that they mean circumference with this 5 millimeters. It's diameter. And the Attorney General's report, I think we can get an answer on whether or not the specific sewer treatment plant in Ulster County would remove them or would not. That's a yes or no for the plant based on the way it processes. And some of ours might. The ones in the watershed probably would remove them.
Not sure.
And the others probably would not. But why we're putting any of this in would be my question.
Did you have one more?
Yeah, I just want, well, I mean, one more to respond to that comment first. I mean, it doesn't say circumference or diameter. So one way or
standard. That's the way scientists and the field talk about it.
And the way laws work is that things should be properly defined in the
so
law.
You
so that's, I mean, that's,
say,
but regardless.
If everything was properly defined, we wouldn't have lawyers.
I guess. And the second.
No offense, Chris.
The second thing I was going to say is that if our goal, you know, as Ms. Hudson says, is to take these things and stop them from entering our waterways, then if we're going to do it by a patchwork anyway and have this county do it and that county do it, wouldn't the way to do it be to lobby towns with municipal sewer systems to pass this ban instead of doing it countywide where only 20% have have sewer systems?
Can I respond? And the hard part would be you're going to have to produce an idea where you live when you go to buy it.
I
to
know.
Say, I live in a town that's got a municipal.
Yeah,
so I'd be tough. Can I just say one thing? I just think, you know, I think a lot of us are supportive of adopting a good law. I think the issue is that Ulster County's is different than all of the other counties, and we're not quite clear why it's so much more restrictive of the other counties. And, you know, okay, I'll let you speak. But I think that's an important. I told you that earlier, Hector. You know, I said I've been supportive of this law, but now that I'm finding out that it's different than all the other counties, when I didn't get that, you know, we were told it was passed by other counties. And so I think, all right, so Hector, you speak.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that, Rich. The reason why it's structured the way that it is as Ms. Hudson just highlighted, these are in products other than cleansers. Although we do have before us, though, the other laws supplied, and they were done at the county level, by the way, for everybody who was, talking about that issue specifically. You see it in Cataraugus, you see it in didn't Monroe County pass it? Or are they a cow too? Is that what it is? Well, Albany County did, New York City is working its way towards one. Suffolk, I don't know if that's actually still in play or not. I don't know the status of that one.
But Erie, Cattaraugus, Chautauqua, Suffolk, Tompkins, all things.
Tompkins, there you go. So, I'm actually trying to find Tompkins. Tompkins' definition was the same as Erie, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So, oh, you actually have the packet here. I'm actually looking at my phone, sorry. How about sometimes it's the hard way. I got it, it's right here. But Tompkins is, in fact, the same as the other counties. If that is the holdup, I did on the ride up here talk with Legislator Warren, and it is truly not preferred, but I think we would be at least open to making the definition codified to make it consistent with the other counties.
Is that a major
substantive? Would be
substantive. I guess I could talk legalese instead of.
So, what would the specific amendment be?
It would be. Hold on. Let's go pull up Erie since that was the first one. So, microbead shall mean. Well, I'm not exactly sure I actually exactly what this part of it, but any intentionally added plastic particle measured to be 5 millimeters or less in size used to exfoliate, cleanse in a personal care product. As opposed to a personal cosmetic product.
Legislator Rodriguez?
Yes, sir.
I honestly don't think there's going to be support to pass it tonight.
Okay.
You know, there's six of us. Can we refer to committee? It's 180 days after it's done. In January, we'll take it up. We'll work with John and his organization. We'll work with Kate and Nana and your organizations, and we'll get something on by February. We'll get something a public hearing for. Legislative Donaldson.
I mean, I could deal with that, but, you know, when you really take a look at it, you know, the more I think about it, I think it's better to get these products out. You can entirely. I don't think
anybody's disagreeing
in any way or form.
But we got to get something that will pass the legislature too.
You can send it back to committee, and that's the way you want to do. And unless we can do that, unless we have support with a change that we're talking about right now, is that considered enough that you would have to have a new?
I'm still trying to figure out what exactly
the change would be instead of.
I just read it to you.
There are two changes. There's one, it's intentionally added.
To me, that's pretty simple.
Particle. And number two, it would be for cleansing and exfoliating purposes.
But you're swapping. But you're swapping out, you know, personal care product, right? Because you're talking about exfoliating cleansing.
Personal cosmetic product.
As opposed to a personal cosmetic product.
You probably need to do that just because your regulatory section says personal care product. You want to make them the same.
I'm fine with personal as a co-sponsor, I guess. Changing it to personal care product to be 5 millimeters instead of personal cosmetic. Because I don't think we want to target cosmetics. I think we want to target the whole universe. I don't understand the purpose of intentionally added.
Can I explain that for a second? If you don't add intentionally added, and you don't know how to enforce it, here's my explanation. It's a little bit. There's no way you can tell a manufacturer to remove something that they didn't intentionally add. In other words, they don't know it's there. So, how do you make them remove it?
They need to know what's in their product.
Well, that's true. But the point is that the use of intentionally added is the language that's actually used in a lot of federal laws to make it clear that that's what the manufacturer has to do. It's an enforcement mechanism, frankly.
Because products are regulated by FDA and per federal law, they are labeled with the ingredients.
I actually have a different perspective on that. I think adding the word intentionally exponentially increases the burden on the county and the burden of proof on the county. They're going to have to prove that the company intentionally added this product in order to bring forward, to implement enforcement. And I think that's a very high burden.
Okay.
And that comment, you know, you know, again, assumes that we're buying Jamie DeGasperis a lab, which we're not.
Two-person.
No, two-person department, right. It's a two.
To remember that.
They just certified our wrestling skills the other day, there so they go. Do a great job. As long as they can certify the wrestling skills.
That's right. That's all that matters.
And by the way, the federal legislation does not include the word intentional.
Okay. Anyway.
Legislative Rodriguez.
So I guess then in that case, I guess changing the personal care product, or changing from personal cosmetic to personal care, which actually, by the way, also makes it more consistent with the title anyway, would probably be what, if we can offer that.
I'm all right.
But you need exfoliating and cleansing.
Is that a substantial...
To add exfoliating and cleansing?
Why don't we just...
Folks phone it for a month. What's the rush? Get it right.
Let's see if it's substantial.
The amendment as proposed, does that include the intentionally or not?
No. Okay. Just go with just changing the personal care, from personal care to personal cosmetic, and the component incise used to exfoliate or cleanse.
I would. My opinion is that the change from personal care to personal cosmetic is not a substantive change. With respect to adding the language exfoliate or cleanse,
that's not like I don't personally think it's okay.
In a personal care product, so it'll say exfoliate or cleanse in a personal care product.
Yep.
And the size of 5 millimeters would remain the same.
Yep.
I don't see that as
Gary, you want to take a look at that?
He's got it.
Yeah. Provided that the word intentionally is not added.
Yeah.
So okay. I will read the amendment as it stands right now. Microbead shall mean any plastic component of a personal cosmetic product measured to be 5 millimeters or less in size used to exfoliate or cleanse in a personal care product. Or
yep.
So we have personal cosmetic and personal care both in this.
No, 5 millimeters
are being added. No, that's already in there. Just change cosmetic to care.
Right.
Yeah. It's just changing cosmetic to care.
Product.
And the exfoliate and cleanse.
Used to exfoliate or cleanse. So microbead shall meet any plastic component of a personal care product measured to be 5 millimeters or less in size used to exfoliate or cleanse.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, shall meet any added plastic particle measured to be 5 millimeters.
We already have that.
We don't have added.
It's right there. Any plastic component. It already has it in there.
Basically, it's right there. That would be the change.
Yeah. All right. Is there amendment? Did anybody make an amendment on the floor?
No.
Any committee member make an amendment?
I'll second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the amendment?
I think that puts us in line with the other places that have passed these, and I think it makes sense. I mean, I would have preferred the other, but again, I think maybe we can go after that later on, but at least for being on record on this.
Okay. Any other comments on the amendment? All in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Opposed? What were you?
I was in favor of the amendment.
Okay, so it's 3-3.
3-3 failed.
The amendment failed. So.
Then I'll change my vote on the amendment, but I'm still not changing my vote on the law.
So the amendment passed.
The amendment passed. Right. My vote yes on the amendment.
Okay.
Because if we're going to see it, I'd rather see it amended than the way it was anyway. But.
Okay. So the amendment passed. So now we're going to discuss the law as amended.
I have some concerns about the penalties for the first violation. I think $2,500 per day is too much.
It's okay. No one's going to get penalized. Don't worry.
Well, you never know.
Don't say that.
I'd like to see it maybe for first offense. We always, we always cut it down to something that's manageable. You know, and for each day, does that mean every day that's on the shelf or every day you get caught?
It's for each day during which violation continues.
What does that mean, Hector?
The way I read that, that's from the moment,
it's on the shelf.
Yeah.
If they come in Monday and they come in Friday, if it's still there, you get fined for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Well, you only get a ticket once.
Not if there's something.
I think they have to come in every day for due process's sake. I think that if
they come in there with surveillance cameras on Monday and don't give you a ticket and come in there on Friday, but
that could happen too.
Yeah. Well, okay. I like to see it $500 for the first offense.
Let me answer. What is the ones in other places? Why don't we try to follow?
Listen, why are we doing this right now?
Well, this is the first time I'm actually hearing this. So. I mean, no, I'm just saying, like, we didn't discuss this before.
You shouldn't be making a mistake.
No, but last month when it was here, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
no,
I brought it up 1 month and we lowered it. It was 5,000 at first, and then we lowered it.
Yeah, and that was in Environmental Committee.
Even the ones that were from,
but we're changing the law from the public hearing.
They cite them.
No, another public hearing.
No, it's not.
Not that first thing. I mean, it's bringing the second thing.
More than just a cosmetic change.
Southern County has a...
Nice.
All right, we're on the proposed local law as amended.
Now, if you change the penalty, is that subsidence?
That probably... usually it is.
I'd like to see the penalty drop from 500 for the first instance, because you got some of these mom-and-pop stores.
Can I make a comment? Councilman Gucci feels that would be a substantial change. That would require another public hearing. So if you're going to move forward with this, then we couldn't pass this as your amendment. We'd have to go back out to.
Are we able? Whatever goes to the floor, can you amend it on the floor?
It still has to have a public hearing if it's a substantial one.
Yeah, you would have to renotice and everything like that.
If it's a substantial one,
I thought so, but I wasn't sure.
I just want to point out that the language is not to exceed. So that means
there is discretion
in terms of setting the penalty. Oh, and also point out that this is exactly the same penalty provision that is in Erie County and a number of the other county bills that have passed.
Up to? Take care of it for you?
No, I'd like to see it up to $500, and maybe the second one be like $1,000 for the second offense. I mean, we've always talked about, we want compliance. We don't want to...
Well, that's why it says not to exceed.
Not to exceed 500.
May I?
Yes.
Now I'm seeing another problem with this, and council can help me out, and I apologize for bringing this up now because I didn't see it until now, but now that we're talking not to exceed according to who? The due process, there's no due process in this other than... The county attorney can bring an action to recover the civil penalty, and a not to exceed would imagine that there's somebody whose decision it is, whether it exceed, whether it's 500 or 1,000 or 2,500, and normally that's left up to, there's an Article 78 or a hearing officer or things of that nature that I'm not seeing in here. So not to exceed $2,500, it would seem to be the Weights and Measures Department which would determine what the fine is, and there's no way to appeal it.
Well, it does say can in any court of competent jurisdiction.
Legislative Roberts.
Number B at the end of it.
Yes.
The penalty section provides that the county attorney may bring an action to recover the civil penalty. He or she doesn't have to, and the judge would ultimately determine what the civil penalty would be. Not an administrative official.
That's about recovery. That's not about.
But
the fine in principle.
But the court or the county attorney could seek a penalty that would not exceed whatever the amount would be for the days of action. But the judge would make that determination based on...
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They could theoretically be fined nothing if the county attorney's actually not bringing that forward.
So we're making it less enforceable.
No. It actually provides what it is doing, and this is, this could be a different complaint, if you like, or whatever, whether or not that provides a certain amount of leeway to the county attorney's office, whether they seek it or not, You might not like that, but that's what it says, though.
I have a question, Hector, if you don't mind.
No. Legislator Roberts has the floor. Legislator Green next, and Legislator Donaldson.
Why is the county attorney bringing this action and not the district attorney? And that may sound like a silly question.
I think because it's a civil penalty. That's why.
Okay, let's go to Green, and then let's go to Dominic.
Go ahead, because it just went right out of my head.
Let's say we'll let Mr. Gucci go. He's got a quick comment. He looks like an elected guy. I mean, more than the rest of us.
He does.
He comes from work. And
he's smarter than all of us.
He's smarter than all of us, too.
Well, he's better hair.
If I could just speak to the mechanism of enforcement. Just briefly to address Leader Bronk's question. We could just imagine an example where creates a criminal information charging someone to have committed a crime. That essentially is the role that the Department of Ways and Measures would serve under this framework. And it's the county attorney, like the district attorney in a criminal prosecution, it's the county attorney that would prosecute the civil case in court, just like any other civil action that happens 10,000 times a day in our county. And be a judge that makes the final determination as to the fine, not any administrative officials for the county, which I think, from a legal and an equitable perspective, makes
more
a
fair.
Lot of sense.
Fair. Let's sit around. Thank you.
I don't know if I was next or not. I think they...
Let's sit down. Let's sit
I'm at a loss as to why I hate to bring this up because I'm maybe throwing a monkey wrench in here, but why the Department of Weight and Measures would be doing this, not the County Health Department.
In Erie County, it's actually Weights and Measures, and when I actually ran that also by the executive, I see the one who actually, has that level of, who's going to be doing it, he was fine with it being Weights and Measures, because that's what Erie County actually has.
Yeah, because Suffolk County drugs,
what's that?
About the Department of Health doing it,
yeah.
and how it's enforced and so on. Yeah. And then
we mimicked Erie County's, and that's it.
Okay, let's go to Green.
Yeah, I think the not to exceed indicates that a small mom and pop by a fair judge, and I assume that either the head of weights and measures or the county attorney would be fair in distributing the fines, so that if it was a big chain store who was intentionally violating the law, that ignoring the law, that there would be a higher fine. I'm fine with changing it. I just, if that change is substantive, then... but I do think that, the fact that there's a sliding scale would apply to the various different businesses that we have.
Okay.
What is your take on that
question?
Here's my proposal. I'd like to see it changed to 500 and maybe 1,000 for the second offense, and I'd be willing to also change the phase-in time from 180 to, say, 120, so you won't, when it does pass in January or February, if you do have to send it back to a public hearing.
No, of course you could, but that wasn't the point.
Well,
the point was that you have a
you don't want to do it too soon because you have to
exactly.
give the retailers an opportunity
yeah, exactly.
to.
Like that is, there's a reason why 6 months is in there.
No, no, right, right.
Them
you proposed an amendment. We have a state.
Dave wants to get make up for half price if it's 2 weeks.
I'll make that amendment.
Well, no, now he's okay because now it's modified there. Which one?
You don't have a second yet to discuss it.
Well, now we're. This is the direction we go in. Then now, so I'll second it.
I hate to say this, Hector, but Scott, I think it's probably should go back to the committee again because there is my other concern is the health department. I think it should be done by the health department, not Weights and Measures. That two people Weights and Measures. The health department has a lot larger staff. They are out on a regular basis. It can be easier for them to implement.
I would say Weights and Measures and stores more than the health department. Yeah. That's why there's Weights and Measures.
But
I'm sorry.
This is
a legislature.
What's that?
What is the weights and measures?
Well, they're in the stores more than the health department.
Yeah.
Weights and measures is always in the retail stores.
Checking the scales.
Yeah.
No, and there's a reason why. I mean, like, you know, there actually is like a logic behind it. You know, that's why, although different counties do handle it differently, you know, you can see why it's actually like a legitimate actual option. You know, here's what I'm going to say. You know, if we are holding off on this now for the new legislature, you know, so be it. I wish I had heard this, you know, previously. But not the personal care versus cosmetics. Like we knew that, we had heard that, you know, previously, but this is now a new
rule. I do apologize for that, Victor.
All right. Let's set a rock.
Another thing is, now that we're talking about the county attorney, you know, going to court to recover the money, I kind of wonder if she knows if she's previously aware that her assistant county attorneys are going to be going to all these courts to recover fines. I don't know. That just, to me, that's different than every other law that we pass.
Listen, we've passed a lot of laws since I've been here, and I don't think I've ever heard of anybody coming back and saying we caught people, you know. I mean, the neighbor notification law, we spoke to the health department, and I don't even know if anybody's even enforcing the neighbor notification law before they put pesticides on their lawns. So.
Okay.
Experience in Erie County after their law was passed is chain stores in Erie County that also had chain off their shelves as soon as the law was passed.
Sure.
Yep.
And that's what I think we could expect to see here.
Yeah.
One more question. At what point would it not be substantive to change the fine? In other words, if Legislator Roberts had suggested $1,500, would, you know?
I it's kind of hard to answer that question. Traditionally, any change in fine has been substantive in my experience here.
Can I add something, Chris?
Sure.
It's not making the fines stiffer. It's making them
less restrictive.
Yes.
Correct. I mean, how much are you talking? I mean, you want $500? That's a hundred.
Making changes can be ministerial. They may not be. Changing a definition, changing a description. But sometimes if it winds up in court, what's the rush? If it's a good idea today, it'll be a good idea in 4 weeks.
Okay, what's the committee's flavor?
We have an amendment on the
floor. No, the amendment passed.
So the
fine. We didn't take a vote. So what's the amendment?
The problem is you change and take the fine, and it now becomes a new public hearing, so we're into the new year anyway. So,
if we change it now and make it less strict, then we don't have to fight about this in January or February.
Well,
there's going to be new legislators, and they may have their own opinions. They might want the fines higher.
Well, there's a motion on the floor.
Yeah, all right. There's a motion and a second. All in favor to
change the fines
from 500 to 1,000. All in favor.
Suffolk County went with that one.
We're voting yes. All in favor.
Okay.
Opposed. 6-0. So now, what does this mean? We can't vote on it to pass it now, can we?
Why?
No, we'll
because
be
it's just a substantive. We have to set another public hearing
in January, right?
Well, theoretically, actually, you actually could set up a public hearing in January, but yeah.
So we can do that.
We'll set a new public hearing.
Can our body do it, or does it have to be a new body?
Question to council. I've been told by our council that something can't. A public hearing can't carry over from body to body because it's a new body is going to be seated in January. I think it would take the new body that meets in January to set a new public hearing.
Okay.
Sure.
I agree with Leader Roth to that point, but I will say from a general perspective that this notion that
one body can't bind a future body is completely ridiculous.
Right.
And I disagree with Bullard.
We're doing it with salaries. One of our next votes.
You're doing with, with respect to public hearings, I agree, because that involves scheduling
yeah.
and certain...
Right. No, which is why...
Too many Rodriguez. Too many R's.
Hey, and we had three parodies at one point. Come on.
Yeah.
and a Robin and a Rich. So that said, we can. I mean, and again, this is just more a matter of just this committee specifically, because you know there are four new legislators coming on board in the new session. I've actually spoken to the three new ones on the Democratic side of the aisle who are supportive of this. That said, I mean, if there is something else to be changed in this, we could hypothetically have the resolution to set up a public hearing in our organizational meeting, as a resolution just to set up a public hearing then for the regular January meeting or before the regular January meeting. Hypothetically, that could be done. So
I'm fine with that. The only thing I'm just going to say, last year, 2 years ago in the organizational meeting, we had like 20 votes, and it was the longest night ever. Usually,
mm-hmm.
in my 14 or 15 prior years, mm-hmm. it has been the organizational meeting is one vote, mm-hmm. and that's it. And then we would do
There's four like resolutions. Like it's only
right.
You know,
the clerk, the county attorney, the revenue. So what's the?
With all due respect, the reason that was done was they're attempting to not have two meetings.
No, we should have two in January. I would think.
Yeah,
you know, like we have for every other year.
Yeah, but we've only had two meetings.
Okay, so what are we doing on this?
Mr. Chairman, may I? My suggestion would be if we're not going to pass this tonight, because we have all these changes, it needs to go back to public hearing. I would say we hold off action on this, withdraw the motion and second, and I'd make a motion that we authorize the chair of the committee to encourage the sponsor to reintroduce it and to encourage whichever legislator becomes the chair of the legislature next year to have a meeting in January, and that this could go before the committees and could be a public hearing by sent to public hearing.
Are you saying there's going to be a new chair of this committee?
No, I'm kidding.
We're
chair of the legislature. I'm just saying.
There might be.
I'm kidding. He's firing me in January.
Why can't we vote and pass this tonight if we're all in favor?
Because it's a substantial change.
It needs to go back to public hearing.
It needs to go back to public hearing.
And we can't schedule public hearing.
We can still vote on it.
Yeah, we can still vote on it.
Okay.
And that sends a message.
But you want to take that fine, leave it like it was, and we want to go back and renege on that.
I make a motion that Legislator Donaldson cover any overage on the fine.
There's a motion with no second, and then another suggestion.
Well, mine wasn't a motion. Mine was a suggestion of a way to move forward, and then we can discuss that.
Legislator or legislator? Sheesh. Don't want to sign. Don't want to sign anymore. You're screwing me up here.
If I could just speak to the fine structure quickly, because I mean I just deal with this every day in court, so I know. I mean the judge is really the final arbiter of a fine, and the not to exceed number, I have to say, rarely ever achieved. I mean, we're talking about judges who are elected mostly themselves, and they are keeping everyone's best interest, hopefully, in their scope. And I would certainly think that they would be able to distinguish a large corporate defendant from a small mom and pop operation. And I would just submit that based on my experience as a practicing attorney, the fine structure as it's written, not to exceed, would certainly permit the leeway of a judge to make a reasonable fine.
I understand your position 100%.
But he respectfully likes the lower funds.
I have to ask counsel, would you be agreeing with Legislator Green's position that it'd be all right to fine a bigger company lot more than fining a little guy?
And I don't agree with that.
I'm not smart enough to make that call. I'm saying a judge who would be in the position to hear all the aspects of the parties and the arguments.
But I mean, if that's part of.
Yeah,
background to this, that let's write it in then, that a judge won't fine the little guy
as much as
he will the big guy.
But well, I think that would throw it out the street.
I've always seen judges make considerations based upon a party's ability to
pay. Yeah, well, I think what would happen is somebody that had a small business may not realize and may not take the offer. In other words, because they have probably a much less turnaround of product. So they may have a product that stays on and lingers on, and then, the judge is probably going to look at that and say, okay, how long has it been? Well, we've had that there for 5 months. We didn't, we just had it for sale, and then, so I would assume that the judge would have some sympathy for such. I mean,
we've been discussing this for an hour. It's been fun. We're going to self-impose the time limit.
Okay. I make a motion to pass this tonight and let the next Environment Committee bring it forward next month and do whatever they have to do to get it on the thing again. But I'm ready to. I think we made some changes here that everybody seems to be happy with.
No, he's passing it. Passing it. Which it won't. It'll have to go back to public hearing.
Second?
Second.
Legislator Green, second. Any discussion?
What are we voting on now?
To pass this to the next legislature.
As amended.
Well, it passes that as amended, so it goes before them. So they get either the new chairman could automatically set up a public hearing for it.
Okay.
Or it can be done by the Environmental Committee.
Okay.
It's already passed.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Can't everybody get along, even at Christmas time? Carried 5-1. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Sorry it was a little long. We're going to now the next. Thank you very much, Chris. Merry Christmas.
We don't have any other laws we're going to need him for.
No, I'm just not sure what to do with this in the packet now.
I thought that my solution was.
Vicky will know.
Okay. I would like to prefer.
I appreciate it, Mr. Chairman.
To get Pert out of here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Happy holidays. So we'll talk to you guys. Let us know.
All right.
Okay. Thank
you. You could put it in your phone and have the.
Requires another public hearing.
Have the county attorney pull it, or the legislative attorney pull it.
You're 485, right?
487.
Oh, I didn't even get the
page. No, that's okay.
Oh, it's on the back. Okay. Please, on the back, 487, declaring certain county-owned real estate located in the town of Warsaw, acquired by the county to the Greater Catskill Flood Remediation Program to be surplus property and authorizing Commissioner of Finance to sell it to the highest bidder.
I'll move it.
Does Bert want anything to explain on it?
I'll wait for a second.
Yeah. Second?
If anyone, we did pass a resolution in 2014. These four parcels never closed by the time I went to auction on those. So these four, kind of the second round, it was over a year to get them all closed, shall we say. There were problems along the way for each one of these.
And this is 487?
Yeah.
I think I know
what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm sure we all know.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. I don't like to say it, but you're right. Correct.
Okay, Legislator Ron.
I absolutely will support this as long as the Commissioner of Finance comes and joins us tomorrow night.
Oh, shoot.
That's for his
stuff. No, I mean, there was issues along the way with other ones.
Okay. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. All in favor?
All right.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Can't wait to meet you tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
Well,
we're going to now go to Resolution 456, adopting proposed local law number 13, a law regarding campaign finance reform in Ulster County.
I'll move it for discussion.
I'll second it.
As amended, that you put it down.
Any discussion?
Yes.
I'm good. Okay, no discussion?
Hang on. So you're back to
the first 456? 456.
Who moved it? Sorry.
I moved it for discussion.
I'm second. No comments? All in favor? I just said comments.
Oh, I'm sorry. But it was quick.
Well, at least I held it open at least 30 seconds.
Okay. I've spoken to the chairman about this a couple of times. I think that this is one of those issues. There might be a couple ways to make it better. If we wanted to take this up in the new year too, to be consistent, you know, that's what I would prefer to do. I mean, it's up to the committee, but I think that there's, you know, a way we can engage some more people. I absolutely positively commend him for bringing it forward, because, you know, at a time when the majority leader of the state Senate and the speaker of the state assembly are both convicted in the same month of major felonies, carrying in both cases, you know, up to 120, 130 years in prison for crimes against the people, I think this is definitely something that we need to do, and it's something I think that we need to get right the first time, 100% right, because it's going to be, you know, it could grow to be a model for other areas and counties and states, and you know, I'd prefer to have some more discussion on it, to maybe make some changes, maybe be able to get some learned testimony from the good government groups throughout the state that are in favor of campaign finance reform, and that would be my suggestion. But I defer to the rest of the committee on what the thoughts are.
Okay.
Well, I'd like to get an idea what the sponsor has to say.
John, say that again, sir.
What do you have to say about that?
Well, listen, I understand where the right honorable legislator from the southern part of the county is coming from. I will say that this has been floating around for about 5 months now. And the good governance groups were all notified. Some said, oh, good. Oh, great. But I didn't get anybody else. So, you know, I've got the distinct feeling it's not going to pass, but sometimes I like folks to say, I don't want campaign finance. Now, we see what happens in Albany. The premise of this whole thing was that people under your care, custody, and control in terms of somebody's employment, or people who are doing business with the county, couldn't make contributions. The elected people couldn't accept them. A big difference. And I heard, well, you can't do that. That's unconstitutional. And just JCO, this is that terribly feared outfit in Albany that's involved with a lot of these prosecutions. Oh, you know, that group, he slid this over to me. I didn't know you were on the
I
said that you could ban legal contributions to targets of investigations. So they couldn't accept them. That's really what I'm talking about. Why should a contractor or a person and member of the community be told, you can't contribute? Better off, put the onus on the elected official and say, I won't accept it. Now, I know it's not going to pass, and I can hear my good friend over here, and I could easily step back in a way and say, let's do it again. This all came about because the executive a year and a half ago or so said he wanted campaign finance reform. And I said in our speech, yes, I'm going to do it. And anybody who wants to join me, please join me. Nobody. Nothing. Yes, sir.
No.
Oh, it looks like you.
No,
is that giving me the finger?
No.
I just, you know, I understand. It's just that, unfortunately, it's. I'm assuming we're talking about campaign finance here. That's right. Sounds like when I walked in.
Yeah.
It's. You need the other half of the law. If you're going to restrict it for the one, you should restrict it for both. And that's my own personal opinion on the matter.
I think people don't disagree with you, but. Like you said, this has been around for 5 months, and it seems like everybody makes their objections last minute.
You're talking to somebody who just heard the objections the last minute.
I got you. But Sir Donaldson had his hand up.
Sorry.
And then Ron.
What about, I mean, in this case, I mean, I don't really have a problem supporting it, but in this case, what if we actually change this to a county elected official or anyone running for a countywide position? They shouldn't be it, because after all, what are they doing? If you're giving a for a county-wide position...
Well, what you, Dave, did you say extended to them?
Yes.
Well, it is.
You're running
it
for
is.
A county-wide position, not just the elected official.
Elected official. Elected official. Right. You know, I have a feeling, incorrectly or not...
I'm saying change it to make it where, or anyone running...
Well,
for a county-wide position, like I'll just throw the name out. What we'll just use any make-believe names. Is Joe is the county controller. Mary's running against him. Well, Mary can get as much money as she wants. Joe can't. Well, Mary, you'll get all this money. Wait a second, let me finish. Mary gets all this money to run. Now, what does Mary do for these people that helped her out? So the mindset is that you want to limit it for everyone. I think that was the argument that some people have come up with.
You know, may I just try to answer that? I may not be able to. But certainly incumbents have a huge advantage.
No county employee or vendor is giving money to somebody running against an incumbent. It's not going
to
happen. Never has, never will.
Well, it could.
Because they'll lose their contract or lose their job.
Can I add to that or subtract from that?
You're up.
You may have a year that the county executive is not an incumbent, but you may have a person who's part of that machine running.
But they're not an incumbent.
He's not elected. He's not elected.
No. And let's not... pick the county executive, because that's not why this is.
It could be any part of any...
It could be the sheriff, it could be the clerk, it could be the district attorney, it could be... Do we have anybody else?
He may not be... The county executive has the most power with contracts and whatever, so I think that's, you know, a good example here. It may not be the county executive per se is not running, but his deputy county executive, who has all the connections here in the county building with the contracts, and he may have the inside track or be favored to win.
Well, that should not be held against that person.
But
they may have the inside track or may not be well known.
But he could have the inside track on donations.
Mm-hmm. You have an inside track on donations.
Let's see if you can jump your hand up.
I just wanted to point out that sometimes there's an election without either being an incumbent, and that's why I want to extend it to anyone running for any of these offices.
I'm fine with it, but this has been around for 5 months, so I don't know why we're hearing this for the first time today.
Can I just jump in?
Go ahead.
I want to answer that, because I think that, you know, I've spoken to the chairman about this particular, about it extending, and we've had, you know, a healthy debate about whether or not it's the right thing, and I've felt all along like, you know, there's an element of fundamental fairness in elections that if you're going to extend something to an incumbent, it also has to. Right now, there's $1,000 limit on the amount of campaign donations that a legislator can accept from anybody who is donating to that particular race. $1,000 is our legislative limit, and that is the limit whether or not you're an incumbent legislator or you're running for the legislature. And to me, you know, normally, as far as I've seen, campaign donation restrictions are done in that way because of an element of fundamental fairness between the incumbent and the challenger. That the challenger, I mean, you know, just want to extend it to, let's say the sheriff, you know, Sheriff Joe is running for re-election, and the company he's going to use for his cell doors, is different than the company that the person running against him is going to use for his cell doors. So the guy who's running against him takes $5,000 from the cell door company that he's going to use, but the incumbent sheriff can't take $5,000 from
I'm
the exact opposite.
All I'm saying is we could have had this in there 5 months ago.
In regard to a little bit we talked about, we can go round and round, and I don't want to stay here
we're being a dead horse.
But, you know, I do know of some situations when I was really following this stuff closely where there'd be just silence for me, will you, Dave? Where somebody working for a given candidate with a contract with it, with, would then come in and offer at extremely reduced rates to manage a campaign and organize a campaign and do the public relations. And that was found to be against the law. So there's a million ways you can get. And I do not believe these two guys that just got in trouble started out figuring out a way that they could get themselves, enrich themselves, or get themselves in trouble. It's the money in it. It's not good. I understand somebody may say, oh, it's not constitutional. It may not be. But Kane Feingold was the give all to save all, and it will fell by the wayside. We might not like the decision, but it were nine justices that made that decision. And if you think about it, if the Right Honorable David Donaldson was running for office, I could go out and buy $5,000 worth of signs and put them around a county. Listen, and he had nothing to do with it.
If we should just pass something. Any vendor, anybody that gives money to a county elected official is ineligible for contracts. That's the best way to do it.
That we'll way, amend it to say that, and we'll move on.
That way, nobody who donates money to anybody in elected office in Ulster County is eligible for a contract. That would be the best way. That's how you take all the money out of it. So if somebody donates money and they win, guess what? They're not allowed a contract. They're the loser. They're not allowed a contract. That'd be the best way to do it. Can't even solicit people that do business with the county. If they do, they're ineligible. Them or their families or their corporation. That'll solve the whole problem.
Sort of what it says, but I just think it's time to do something.
So long as that applies to both the challengers and to incumbents, that makes me sound really...
Listen, if they donate money, then, well, if the person loses, it's hard to say.
But you know what I'm saying, but in terms of enforcement, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't donate. You're ineligible.
I think it's a
because you know what? There's an awful lot of it going on right now, and you talk to people in the community. There's people losing out on bids who are low bidders to people that are donating more money, and it's prevalent right now. It's prevalent in this area. So we put an end to it, and guess what? We won't have people with $750,000 campaign chests for a small county like we have. I just said it wrong.
Thanks. Do we want to, there seems to be somewhat of an appetite here to add challengers to the law. Do we want to craft that now? Because I've got something that's been working around in my head since I've been sitting here.
Let me say something. Rather than we do this for an hour, I'll move it aside.
Okay.
We'll do it in
January. I'll move it aside till next year. Because I don't want to spend an hour debating a line here and a line there. I feel very strongly I will put it back in again, even if it's defeated tonight, for next year. Rather than get into that, I'm going to do it right away, if I'm alive, and then we can have whatever discussion everybody wants. And anybody here has any ideas?
Better people come in.
I welcome it. So, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So let's...
I want to hear Mr. Ronk thank me for bringing it forward.
Let's put it down soon. Quick.
I do think that what we probably should do is a county elected official, and maybe we can get that off our chest right here, just like we got the other ones off our chest, because I'd like to see something moving forward on this. A county elected official or anyone running for a countywide position. I think that's
or county office, not necessarily countywide. Even a legislator. County office. Because legislators aren't countywide.
That'd be fine.
There is a difference between legislators and...
But there is a major difference.
Running
for a county position.
Okay.
I'll step aside.
All right. Dave, can we work on that in January?
Won't everybody accept that one?
I'm fine with it. Yeah,
okay,
I'm.
But then we can add that on that, and that way it's plenty of stuff out of the way.
Like 600 places in there.
Where are you making that change?
Every place where we just say county.
So we're going to add a definition of county elected official?
Or challengers.
Or challengers?
Or anybody running for it.
We have to define challengers.
Anyone running for county office.
Yeah.
Or anyone running for county office.
Okay. Let's do the rail one. I'm sorry, guys. We're going to do the rail, which is the last one, which is 488, amending Resolution 275 of 2014, establishing policy for a rail with trail along the county-owned Ulster and Delaware Railroad corridor.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion?
It's a great plan. I think that everyone's a little happy. I think everyone's a little sad. We worked very, very hard, and I just want to, as I'm sitting here, commend Legislator Green, Legislator Donaldson, Chris and Dennis from Planning Department, Kathy Nolan, and everybody, and Nick I saw a few minutes ago, and everybody who worked on this. And Ernie Hunt. I'm just naming people in the room. And Ernie Hunt and everybody who had a hand in working on this. It may not be the perfect plan, but it is as close to perfect as you can get, I think. And I'm very proud to have served on the committee and worked with everybody on it. So.
I got no more arthritis.
It's in your packet. The last thing in your packet. Should be 48.
Okay.
Nick, they just thank you. You had stepped out.
Yeah, you missed that on it, but
I'm just going to, before we vote on it, I'm just going to say, I mean, I'm glad it's... everybody's starting to get along better and work together, but I think the trail should be extended onto the reservoir property, and I think the railroad, it should have both on the reservoir property, and I won't support any plan that doesn't at least try to work and have DEP try to accommodate both rail folks and trail folks. And I think it can definitely be done, and this is a great start, but I think we need to continue to work to get the railroad where they belong, to give them further. So.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it evolved the way it evolved. I think the two important things to me are that in the stretch where there is railroad, that we do everything we can, and we left language here to be able to try to get the railroad as close to a view of the reservoir mm-hmm. as possible. And when I brought up that point in the committee, it was pointed out that this is a change to 275. It doesn't mean that there couldn't be a change in the future. But what it does allow is it gives the green light to the railroad to proceed for this economic development, mm-hmm. tourism benefits. It allows a trail to be constructed in the reservoir section, and in the Kingston City section, the downtown section or midtown section of Kingston. My last concern, and Legislator Ronk is aware, I'm not happy with the words co-located, but that's where it was pointed out to me that if there's a reason to change it in the future, I do think it's a major step forward in what we tried to do in this committee was figure out what was the best thing for the county and for the future of this corridor. But I completely agree. I would like to have seen it trail from Kingston Plaza to the border. I would like to see it rail with trail from Kingston Plaza to the...
I mean, it's tough in some spots in Phoenicia and Chandigarh and Mount Tremper and Boyceville. It's pretty trim there. It's pretty...
But with regard, this is my last comment. With regard to DEP, this little stretch over to the Glenford Dyke is within DEP property, and yet that's an easy stretch to construct. The other stretches are much more complicated. But again, I think it's a good enough agreement that, and we've come a long way, that we can deal with specific issues as they come up, and if we have to amend again, we will.
Okay, Legislator Donaldson.
I tend to agree with you, but on the other, what this does is we also add in Resolution 275 that was put in there, let's say a rock actually, to help it stomach it a little bit, was the idea that any rails removed would have to be okayed by the legislative body before they are removed. So that gives us that opportunity to really zero in on those spots where they're actually removed. So, I mean, that makes it more palatable, shall we say. I also think that I just hope that this actually initiates a real working relationship with the Catskill Mountain Railroad that are presently there anyway. So instead of any more roadblocks being thrown in front of them for success, I mean, they have shown success despite the roadblocks that were thrown in front of them, despite all those things that made it very tough for them, they have shown success. Now, obviously, the unfortunate thing, they didn't show success for a very long time until a couple new people who stepped up to the plate and actually decided they were going to look at this in a much more business-oriented way instead of the boys with the fun, big toys. So that was, I think, one little problem. Nothing better than a big toy like a train, right? So I think that's the other aspect of this. And, you know, it's a plan that is in works. It's not totally finished, but it certainly sets up the idea that everybody can start working together, and I hope that's what it initiates. Because if that's what it initiates, it's going to be amazing what we may end up being able to do in the end, with everybody working on the same side.
Okay.
So do I understand it's sort of a segmented thing? It's like a roadmap to get somewhere that...
There's a big map down there.
No.
I don't have to see it all. I mean, I was happy to see that...
Dick,
there's still room to do this exactly, or maybe something may come up someday in a section that, in the general view, would make a better project. Is that correct?
Yes.
If I could, yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely true. In fact, we left the section between milepost 8.3, which is it's 28A by the Hickory Mountain Barbecue, between there and Basin Road as a to be determined area. Rich, I know that you've talked about feeling like there had to be a solution. We seem to find workarounds and solutions for almost everywhere except for 2,700 feet. In between 28A and Basin Road, because of the fact that it's on a raised fill with wetlands on both sides.
Wow.
It's that one spot that would prove to be either too costly or not feasible. Mm-hmm. And it was actually determined by our consultants, who actually lean on the railroad side of things, as infeasible at this time.
Okay.
But again, if we're able to find...
approximate the Hickory Pit, or is it down where the teepee used to be on the corner?
It's
28A comes out.
It's the where the right at the railroad crossing on 28A when you go up towards
where that old house is, John.
There's an abandoned house.
Yeah.
Nearby the church there.
County owns.
I know where it is. I know exactly where it is.
But again, if
they can get to there,
Mr. Chairman, if we're able to find a workaround in that section that co-locates the trail and the rail together on the corridor there, it's something that we're definitely I'm definitely open to personally, and that would get it right to the DEP land.
Cool. And I just want to ask one other question, and I know Legislator Ronk, I just want this on the record, but you had mentioned it. There's hunting is open on the DEP properties here.
Yes.
It isn't going to affect any of the hunting properties, DEP?
We added into the agreement that that's a compatible use.
Oh,
so
good.
We actually envision this as making it easier to access
good.
Some of those lands.
Because I've had some of the areas just bow hunting only.
Yeah.
And I've had some bow hunters reach out to me worried
whatever,
that they're going to
lose. We wouldn't change any of the land uses there, and we've in fact talked about if people hunt a bear or something, having a system where they can get an ATV. On the rail trail.
They skin them up there when they catch them, when they kill them. They don't even drag them out.
They
skin them right in the woods. Yeah. No, okay.
On the hunting things, on the hunting issue in particular, I think the DEP has been open to opening that area up to rifle hunting, and the sportsmen have actually walked at it like it's really not that safe.
A certain area is.
Yeah.
I believe up in Boyceville, it's bow only. even
but the
south, it's right.
The planning department has brought in the Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs as a stakeholder, and they're taking in their considerations as well. And they've been this federation, Joe Leone, the president, and those folks have been very complimentary of the planning department being open to their concerns. So.
Okay, all right, I'll move it. Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Carried 6-0.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Sorry to make you wait so long. Okay. Resolution number 458, adopting proposed local law number 19, local law applying salary revisions for certain elected officials.
We have four of those for the legislature.
Yeah.
Do I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Yeah. You can take that one, David.
A second? All right. It fails. Lack of a
wait,
second.
I'm sorry. I'm trying.
Can I give you time?
No, it doesn't.
All right, we're going to the next one now.
That's
no,
he wants
dead.
To get out by getting
it. Which
dead.
Is it?
It's dead.
What's dead?
There's no second. I went on to the next one.
But what is? I'm
sorry. Salary revisions for certain elected officials.
This is the legislative salary increase. The local law.
I went to the next one because
that's not dead.
Yeah, nobody seconded it. I'm going to the next one.
All right, I make a motion. We go back to it.
I second it.
All right. So we have a motion and a second. All right. Any discussion?
Salary increase. It almost failed because you and Mana weren't seconding it.
Any discussion? What's it
been? It's been 16 years. I think that the 18 years.
What did I say? 16 is 18.
However many years it's been an awful lot. I've spoken to a lot of my constituents about it. I've not gotten one negative comment about it. Everyone's either said, oh my gosh, you folks only make $10,000 a year, you put in a lot of time and effort, or, you know, it's been 16 years, are you kidding me? So those are the kind of comments I've gotten from my constituents, and it's been in all the papers down there. I think that it's time that we, instead of cutting benefits for the legislature, as we've done in previous years, that we bring it up, at least that this will bring it up to what a dollar was worth the last time we got a salary increase. Jerry Benjamin, who was on the Periodic Compensation Review Committee, did a study since 2001, I think it was. In 2001 dollars, our $10,000 is worth $7,000. Because of the cost of inflation over those years. I think that it's time, and I think that it should be the whole body that votes on it. So I definitely support bringing this to the floor.
My constituent said it's been 18 years since, and they give me a different take.
I'll tell you. You guys must have different constituents than me. When I read on the Freeman online, and when I hear people telling me, they say politicians are nothing but self-serving people.
Right.
And I've said it before, Little League baseball coaches, volunteer firefighters, EMS, school board members, zoning and planning board members put in just as much time as we do, and they don't get a nickel for it. And I think health insurance costs have doubled and tripled, and so it's not fair to say that there hasn't been an increase in people's compensation because health care costs go up double digits. I don't take health care, so I'm not included in that, but I think for people that take health care to say they have not gotten an increase is not fair. They've gotten a phenomenal increase because in 16 years of family plans probably gone from 4,000 to 24,000. So that's a pretty hefty raise every year. And I think it should have been done before an election, and I can't support it. I do fine enough. I don't do this to get some extra money.
Okay, very, very briefly, if I could just respond to that. We couldn't do this before the election because of the fact that the Periodic Compensation Review Committee's report in the charter, it's due on September 30th. That doesn't give enough time for public hearings and local laws in between then and election day. So that's something we need to work on in the charter.
Then let's pass it for the next legislature in 2 years from now.
And the second thing, I'm open to a discussion on health insurance benefits, but you can't do it in the same local law because it's two separate things.
Right,
I'm definitely open to a discussion, and I hope we have one. Okay. There are, you know, Mr. Chairman, you and I have had discussions about that, about ways that maybe we can work on it, so it's not, you know, so it's not necessarily taking a benefit away, but making it more equitable. And if there's a way we can figure out to do that, I'm open to it.
Okay, Mr. Donaldson.
Well, you know, we often do this, and there's never a good time for a raise for anybody in legislation, no matter what you do it. And I mean, when we went through this, talked about it in the past, and there's been increases in the budget, and it's costing us more, and you see that repeatedly, so no, you got to put it off, so you keep putting it off. The other person the other night was talking about that, oh, it's not the right time, oh, you deserve a raise, but it's not the right time. That is typically the response. And yes, typically the response by others is we're all no good, our dirty feet stink, we're all stealing from the public, and you can go on and on and on of what many people view anybody that gets elected to positions. And that's, you know, that's a sad thing, you know, because people have don't have faith, and a lot of it has to do with what goes on in the state and federal government. But that's on a local level, it's a different ballgame. And my take on it is after 18 years, I think there should be an increase, and then, you know, discuss whatever you wish. But, I mean, that's what I've been. And I went on record long before, as you know, actually, let's say Rock and I went on record in, what, July, was it?
Sounds right.
I think it was July we put it forth, so. No, I wasn't. I was going to go on record. That was even before anything happened. But I was going to have somebody running against me or not.
Really?
And, you know, the way I looked at it. Nope.
Okay.
I support it.
Any other comments?
I think the legislature as a whole should be voting on it.
You know, all my life I've been running around doing this kind of stuff, and it's awful nice to have a citizens' government. We bring people in to do this compensation review thing, and they came up with three or four recommendations and pointed out something that was, in my opinion, not critically wrong, but incorrect. And it was completely ignored. And you wonder why citizens have a jaundiced view of what we do when they say, here's recommendation A, recommendation B, recommendation C, and it's not even addressed. I go up to the Onora School on a regular basis, or folks in Rondo, and those folks up there take more abuse than we do to be on a school board, and they don't get a nickel off it. I don't think they get health insurance either.
Okay.
So I got a real problem with it, and I voted no last week, and I probably will vote no again. But may I ask a question? Could I have a straw poll on how the vote's going to go? And I'll tell you why. I don't like to see grown men or women cry.
I'm a no.
And it takes four votes to pass here. And I don't want to take that vote away from the floor. That either means I have to scoot out or change my vote or whatever. Now, I'm trying to be realistic as I can with this thing, okay? So,
why don't you scoot?
You surprise us.
I will scoot because I don't want to be the one.
Why?
You know, Rich, I think they're totally wrong, and legislative wrong says you couldn't pass this with not having an amendment to it that says there will be review over the next year to incorporate some language into the next phase.
But anybody can put that in.
Well, let's look at it. I'm talking here.
We could have done
here,
it on two laws that
I'm
talked about today
here,
too. Anybody could do it.
Just to that, Chairman, we could put in something where we would have to go back and review the health insurance or something of that nature for parity. But
can I? This is what I think should happen.
It doesn't
pass from action. I talked to Legislator Rock. I think there's two things, and one of the two is what the legislature should adopt. One,
if you get health insurance through your employer, current employer, you're not eligible for county health insurance. I think that's very fair. And two, if, say, next year the health insurance premiums go up $300, then you only, the legislator that takes health insurance only gets $13,700 because they don't get a raise. This, their number this year is your compensation package from here on out. And then when it gets down to $10,000, maybe in 10 years from now, it can't go any lower than $10,000. So right now, that's the compensation package. Next year, health insurance goes up $1,000. You got your raise this year. Now your salary is only $13,000 if you continue to take health insurance. I think we should cap out right now what everybody's compensation package is. And starting today, or when this law, if it gets passed, that's your compensation package. Or if your private employer offers health insurance, there's no, take it through your private employer. That, I could take it through the county and get a nice big buyout from Verizon, but I don't because I don't feel it's right.
Well, maybe you should then.
No, but I don't, and I'm not going to. But, you know, I shouldn't be entitled to the county insurance because I get it through my employer. Legislator.
I would be in favor of the second portion of that. I would be in favor of capping or looking into the possibility of capping, you know, what the county will pay
this
for insurance at this year.
But it'll never go below $10,000. So if health insurance costs go up $20,000, you still gonna still
that would be something that I think we'd need to talk to you know, the personnel department on exactly how much of a nightmare that would be for record keeping purposes. Because there's like five different health plans and each one has a different increase and
no,
there's a PO, there's a POS, there's a PPO, and then there's single, and then there's family, and there's a single family, a PPO, a single, okay. Yeah. But
it's,
you know,
easy. It's a math thing. It went up $20 this year.
I agree.
And it went down. If it goes down, so be it.
I'm sure it'd be on a spreadsheet somewhere that somebody could do. It wouldn't be that prohibitive. But I would also, and again, you know, this is going to sound like trying to give a benefit, but buyouts aren't necessarily a benefit so much as they're an option that saves the business money, because Verizon wouldn't offer a buyout if buyouts didn't save the company money. And I think that a buyout at the legislature could save the legislature money, because there might be legislators who take the buyout rather than taking $10,000 worth of health insurance.
But that's not why we're...
I'm not saying that that's why, but I'm saying that, you know, that, you know, when you're talking about reducing... There used to be, I understand. And it was removed because it was seen by some as a benefit and not a benefit as a benefit to the individual, not to the county.
I can get a buyout license too.
But we'll buy it. But again, you know, but again, it's just you know, I'm definitely open to that.
Okay,
so that's that. I you know, I take, you know, and due respect to the chairman, and I know that I don't think he was meaning it directly at me, but, you know, I looked at the Periodic Compensation Review Committee's report in depth. I didn't just outright dismiss it, although, you know, the chairman of the commission decided to come and say so in public hearing.
Talk about the whole people.
But, you know, I just... You know, we can't continue to sell the body short. It's not about me getting a raise or you getting a raise or us getting a raise. It's about making the body more competitive for competent, qualified individuals to run who aren't just retired or independently wealthy or those sort of things.
I can tell
you
this.
You know,
I heard your remarks once, and all due respect when you made those. And then I look around, I think we had a couple of judgeships that pay $150,000 in the county. You didn't have any competition. So the increased salary didn't bring people out of the woodwork to run against them. We have assemblymen and senators who make whatever they make, 70, 80, 90, whatever it is.
80.
Well, whatever.
Skeletons
and
silver.
And we didn't have
money.
Anybody run against them.
I'm
not sure of that.
Permanent
that.
Yeah.
That's a fair take, that if you pay us double our salary, we'll get far more people nipping at our heels.
Senator Green, Senator Dawson, and you.
Okay.
Because we, I want to...
No, I understand. It's fine.
I think this is an important conversation, but I think it should be a conversation we bring up after, you know, I'd like to resolve this. It's in front of us. I believe we've had a public hearing, and I'd like to resolve this tonight and then have the conversation about health insurance. I've stated how I feel about it, but I don't want to dredge that up. I just think that we ought to resolve this tonight if we can, or at least send it to the body to resolve.
Okay. Legislator Donaldson?
Well, I mean, I know as a my last 12 years I taught economics and government. Before that, I taught global history, and one of the things that were brought up in ancient Greece was the idea you pay your elected officials, the ones that ran the show. Why do you pay them? The purpose of that is to let everybody be able to run for the office, because after all, you know how time-consuming it can be. And if you're using all that time to do that, you're not using the time to make money somewhere else. And often, you know, that's what ends up happening. So it allows people of less means to be able to say, okay, I'll do that. I know before when I first got involved, now I'm, you know, I've done well over time, but, you know, when I first got involved, I would not have run if I wasn't able to at least make something on it. I couldn't afford to. I mean, I gave up the bartending job. I gave up the job that I was running extra programs in school that gave me, you know, some money. So, in other words, my take on it was, I'm not in it for the money, but I'm also, I can't earn my family by doing it. And I think that's one of the mindsets of why you pay people, and you pay them a decent wage. So they'll, in other words, it encourages people, not necessarily just retired or people of wealth, to run.
Okay, that's fair. Legislator Ronkin, and we're going to vote.
I'm good.
Okay, call the question. All in favor?
All right.
Opposed?
So
I'm going to oppose it and then change my vote. I heard that done earlier this evening. So at least it goes to the floor.
It's going to the floor.
It goes to the floor even if you vote no. Kevin,
you voted yes. All right, then I
didn't see you scooting fast enough.
Okay, and that's fair game. Because
okay.
I was not going to prevent this from
okay,
going
let's,
to the floor.
Okay, let's just... 4:59, calling organizational meeting of 2016.
What time is it?
8:15.
No, I mean, 6:30? Oh, the meeting itself?
Yeah.
I think 6:30 is the question. I'm just trying to get to it.
Oh, we can do a
bounce around so much.
We can do a referendum on this.
On
this
what?
Local law for fixed terms.
Mm-hmm.
And put it on, it can be on hold. If people get the ballots... It says, this local law is subject to a permissive referendum and will be submitted to the vote of qualified electors of the Ulster County within 45 days after the date on which it was adopted. There is filed with the Ulster County Legislature a petition protesting against this local law, signed and authenticated as required by Section 24 Municipal Home Rule. By qualified electors of the Ulster County registered to vote therein of the last preceding general election in number equal to the last 10% of the total number of votes. So I am going to start a thing. I'm telling you guys right now.
Audition.
If we get the votes, then the raises go on hold, and
yep.
It'll be on the ballot in January, in November. That's
yeah, but I, you know what?
So I'm telling you guys right
is
now.
Is it on hold?
Well, it's 45 days from when we vote on it, which is tomorrow. So you've got 45 days from
tomorrow.
Yeah. And it's got to be
10%
of the number of votes cast for governor. So the governor had, what, 70 or 80? No. 100,000 votes?
No.
He didn't do too well.
No,
total
it's a total vote of the whole.
But remember when we did the
like,
one for the redistricting, it turned out it was only 2%. We thought it was 10%.
5%.
It was 5, so this could be.
We ran around thinking it had to be 10%, and it was,
that was wrong.
So is this wrong 10% too?
Maybe, but I didn't even look into it.
2,500 votes, but what would it.
One point we thought
I'm
going to
find out right now. I'm
going to
do the math.
And we got 8,000. No.
You should have the.
We
need the
6. We only need.
Okay. So you know what? If we're not going to pass something with health insurance, then I'm going to go out and get the petitions. And you know what? If this gets on the ballot, we all know it's going to lose. So.
You know, you want it or me.
Yep. That is.
Then the people speak at that point. That's
good.
Well, I guess we could vote just to give it to the people.
There you go, Rich.
There we go. Good. That is really good.
It's a permissive referendum, not a mandatory referendum, and the courts have not allowed us to do... mandatory referendums on permissive referendum
what does
items,
that mean?
I think.
So this is not valid?
No, that you have to collect the signatures.
Yeah,
the best part, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we move. What's the next item?
That makes me very
organizational
bad.
Meeting.
That makes me
yes, like
well,
that. 6:30 on Wednesday,
in.
January 6th.
Thank you. 6:30, right. January when? 8th?
6th.
6th. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 6-0. 40, Resolution 470, confirming reappointment of the member of the County Board of Ethics. That's Derek Spada. Motion?
Yeah.
Yeah. Legislator Ronk, I'll second it. All in favor?
Roberts,
I'm sorry. All in favor?
Robert Rodriguez.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 6-0. That's
2,500 signatures.
And they could be any
party. They all look alike.
So it's not even, you're not even getting Democrats or Republicans.
That's the registered for sale.
That's the first time I heard that one.
We have to get people to hang that. But it was really funny with Robbie and Richie.
That's getting 100 people to get 30 signatures. That's pretty
nice. Yeah.
Especially with that. Don't you think it'd be easy, Tom? Okay. Late could we find out from the attorney if the pay raises would be on hold?
I'll ask.
Okay. Late resolution 485, urging the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation to assume lead agency status for the state environmental quality review process for the Pilgrim Pipeline.
I'll move it.
I'll second. This is green. Second it. All in favor?
No, wait a minute. What is this now we're voting on?
Pilgrim.
This is the DEC to take lead agency on the seeker on the Pilgrim Pipeline.
Okay, I got a question to ask you. I thought we were on record as against this. Legislature voted to oppose the Pilgrim Pipeline.
With two no's.
With one no, I thought.
You know, that's
no, but I'm just wondering, if we voted to oppose it, what are we doing now? Looking for somebody we're against it.
When you voted to be against it, which we completely appreciated, all the people that are advocating against this horrible project, Pilgrim Pipeline had not filed any applications. That was in the spring.
So that was premature, you mean?
They have now filed an application for access to the thruway right-of-way. Mm-hmm. And they have written to all of the 29 towns and 6 counties that are going to be impacted, saying, we want to be lead agency for the environmental review. Among other things, they have a financial interest, because if they lease their thruway right-of-way to Pilgrim, they will get money. And so the purpose of this is to say, no, we want our state environmental agency to oversee this environmental review, which is now going to go forward, not the thruway authority, Fox watching the hen house.
Okay, I just have a question.
Sure.
Is this sort of like judge shopping?
No.
We don't want them to do it, because this stuff will give us probably a better
and it's going to win
opinion or better recommendation. No, the only reason I ask that is
everybody's going to lose interest. Well, having the same group that benefits from something.
Okay.
You could have done it smarter.
My point is, we went on record almost unanimously against it. If
everybody's going to lose, this is a way
we support DEC
to do the environmental.
Then we. Would it be improper to say we are asking them to do it and we will then support their decision? Which we could amend the resolution.
Right. If we're going to ask DEC to be lead agency, we should then certainly respect their decision on it and not come out and say, well,
DEC is not going to make a decision.
Okay.
Under Speaker, what lead agency does is it oversees the preparation of the draft environmental impact statement, which informs the decisions that will have to be made by all of the involved agencies.
So we would support the DEC findings then. If we want them to do it, then we support their findings.
But we should say it.
There's a process that's going to happen, and we'd like it to be the best possible process. But you don't know in advance how well DEC is going to do this process.
What does this mean to criteria?
We don't know how well the thruway authority might do it.
We don't.
It's timely because the decision on the agency is going to be made prior to our next meeting.
Yes.
That's why.
Even though it's a memorializing resolution?
The 16th is the deadline that Thruway Authority has set.
Okay.
And if you don't respond by the 16th, the Thruway Authority gets to interpret it as a yes for them.
Okay. Well, let's agree.
Yeah, I want to say not only do I believe that the DEC can be more objective and has the expertise, and I may not personally support their ultimate recommendation, one of my biggest concerns is that the Thruway Authority is an authority. It is not beholden to the state legislature, and in my opinion, if they were the lead agency, there could actually be a conflict of interest, because whatever happens along that pipeline is going to be controlled, but that corridor is controlled by the Thruway Authority. The Thruway Authority needs to, they are supported by our tolls and bridges, you know, by our tolls and tolls. Road and bridge
and
tolls.
And soon to be bridge.
How do we get on the authority?
Yes. So, I don't know how they really could be lead agency when they stand to benefit or be harmed. I don't know how they can be objective when an agreement ultimately is going to have to be reached
with
that
them.
Authority.
I get it. That's kind of like legislators point. Voting on their own pay increases.
Oh.
I would say you'd probably be under the same.
Ouch.
It's under the same exact thing. So.
You have a mechanism for doing that.
Yes, we do. Let the independent committee put the raises in. Not ignore their recommendations. So, okay, let's say Ron had the floor next to him.
They ignored our recommendations in the past, but they told us to give us a raise.
Yeah. Okay, are we good with this?
That's fine. I'm good.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We have one more resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's late resolution approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered by the county multi-county community development court.
That's right.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't open the attachment up to read this.
How do these late resolutions come in like this? I mean, what suddenly sprung? Even the Pilgrim Pipeline thing was
John, I was
we did something opposing it a long time ago. That they formally presented their plan and they submitted their application. Here it is. Only the 16th. We only were allowed 14 days to comment or to make a vote.
I was under the impression that either the chair, you, or the other chair, Richie, would have to put it on. Obviously, that didn't happen either one.
No, they both
Facebook post tonight. I need help getting 5,000 signatures.
10%.
Well, actually, they both all had to be 5,000.
They had
it.
It's the end of the year.
I think. Oh, who'd you ask?
Just like the compensation.
Who'd you ask?
Just on the law. I'm going to ask Erica.
Yeah. Okay.
She wrote it. So,
we have a motion. Let's say to Roberts.
What am I voting
for? For that late resolution.
Move
for
it.
The social services.
What is it?
Sure. Yes. This is Multi-County Community Development Corporation. This is for the multi-systemic therapy unit.
For an additional 2 months of transition.
Yeah.
It's... May I say something?
Or you want to put it off. Starting until January.
I just want to say one thing.
We can put
late
it off.
Late resolutions. You know, the public
actually
comes in late with their taxes. They pay. Here is, oh, well.
You know, can I just say, make a request? I did. When I asked if this would be on the agenda, I asked if somebody from the executive's office would come and explain it to us and give us an update. And Vicki said she would ask to make sure somebody came. So you want to just put it off until January?
I don't
put it off. The contract doesn't start until January.
And when are we going to vote on it?
We'll vote on it next year. I mean, how many times do we vote on a contract that started 8 months ago?
Well, this is January. January.
So it's end of February next year?
Yes, 2 months.
So we have time.
No, it ends in February. Right.
Yeah, so we have time.
The services are due to expire. The memo from Mike Iaposi, the Social Services Commissioner, is immediately following the resolution in your packet, which gives the criterion for lateness and why it was
Can I just make a comment? It is legit, but you know what? Can I just make a comment? I'm the chairman of the committee. If they got the late resolution, pick up the phone and call me.
I agree with you.
I call back. I'm very accessible. You know, this is December 9th, so it was 5 days ago, before the weekend. You know what? Send me an email. Pick up the phone. I did ask
What? I'm sorry?
I would just read that last paragraph on that page, because it talks about ending services abruptly for...
Yeah.
Well, you know what? If that's important, pick up the phone and call us. And I asked that somebody from the executive's office be here. I'll vote for it.
I mean, that's disappointing, but that they're not here. I think that we, you know...
And you know what? The first day we turn this down, then they're going to start coming to the meetings. As long as we keep doing things when we request
year,
that they come...
Let's pass some rules with consequences, and real consequences.
You know, I asked that...
Well, you know, typically we stop anything, and so we've been very good at stopping things that were late, unless they were needed. And this thing, it basically deals, it expires, and, you know, there's youth that are markedly increased risk of destabilization if they don't have that continuation.
Nobody's not saying it's not a worthy.
So to me, I think it is something that... I mean, I don't know why we didn't get it earlier. I'm not sure about that, but I think it, I'm not sure why it wasn't here earlier, but having said that, in January, we're just going to say, yeah, okay, let's go.
No, somebody will come and explain it to us, explain why it was late.
You know, I think Richie has a point, and, you know, this might be important that we have to get it done, but someone should have called the chairman and explained it to him or been here tonight and give him that courtesy.
Right. Well, there are quite a few.
I can't argue with that,
but there are financial consequences and consequences for certain individuals. So, you know, to me, I'd rather err on that side than err on the side that, you know, I don't like the idea that they came late.
This is a stopgap resolution. Mm-hmm. If you read the last paragraph of the memo, an RFP for these services has been recently advertised. The responses are currently being reviewed, and potential vendors are being vetted. Upon the selection of a new vendor, the current caseload must be transitioned to the new vendor.
Right,
so
right.
We need a short contract in
to
the
have
meantime.
Both. Or the, right.
To for the transition, and I totally agree with you. I think that, you know, after we pass this, we should authorize the chair to send a letter, you know, down the hall, you know, asking for an explanation on why somebody wasn't here.
Say every late resolution from now on, the department head needs to be in attendance.
I agree.
If they're not in attendance, the resolution will not be accepted.
We could put that in the rules. If we have to, I mean, you'd think
and
that
and
think
somebody
that
would say the chair has too much authority rather than make an orderly process.
No,
Lynn won't be here next year.
I've heard
that. Lynn won't be here next year.
That was her.
That
was the third time you said that.
Don't bring it up.
No, I know.
It goes away.
Let's pass it.
Call a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried 6-0. All right.
Could we discuss it a little further?
No.
No.
We're done.
No. So you passed it tonight, right?
Yeah, and you actually made a very specific recommendation.
Yeah, I think that we should, as a committee, not even just as the chairman, but as the committee, when the chairman of the committee as our representative need to ask for an explanation on why there was nobody here when somebody was asked to be here. That's disappointing.
I specifically asked Vicki. I said it's a late resolution. Yep. It's, you know, she told me what it was about, and I said, could you ask somebody from the office to come?
I've only been here, but
and I
now
put these first so people can get.
I've heard that same comment 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, they never come, and yet we move forward.
Yeah.
I find there's very few emergencies that require immediate attention.
I agree with that, but I mean, and those who have served in the legislature as long as I have, or longer with Rich, as long as I have with Kevin, the late resolutions used to be much more abused than they are today.
They
it used to be every month you'd have five late resolutions.
How many we got
late? A couple. More than normal.
Five.
More than normal. But when I say that, it used to be second resolution deadline.
Okay, new business?
I got some old if you...
Old business. Well, there's no new business. This last committee meeting.
Old business. We passed the False Alarm Reduction Act. Kenny was supposed to look into this on me. And we had a pretty big stink in caucus about there being no permit fee for this. A friend of mine got his application and it had a whopping $10 application fee. You know, I just want a clarification on that.
I'm sorry, I forgot to look at it, but I promise I'll go home and look at the minutes this evening.
Okay.
I got caught up with three corridor committee meetings last week, and I plumb forgot. So I apologize for that, Kevin.
Thank you.
They were only 4 hours each.
Okay.
I want to make one comment in closing and just say that I had no idea how much work the legislature was 2 years ago in respect to our compensation, and I really appreciate everybody because you really have to work hard to keep up with all of this, and it's been an interesting year on this committee. I've learned a lot, and I appreciate it.
Thanks, everybody.
But you don't want to be on it again.
Well, I haven't decided yet. We still have in January. We have options. We put in our requests, and then we serve however we're assigned.
You either have to like this type of particular stuff, or you don't.
Okay, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. We're going to do it again tomorrow night.